KWU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of People Sanctuary, Saturday, April 8th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater in Portland. People Sanctuary features performances by Amenta Abioto, Mike Crenshaw, Solomon Starr, Black Butterfly, Alexis Kennard, and Michelle Strong. Again, that's at People Sanctuary, Saturday, April 8th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. The man I used to pound.
They say that falling in love is wonderful. So wonderful, so they say. This thing that's known as romance is wonderful. So wonderful, so they tell me. I can't recall who said it. I know I've never read it. I only know they tell me that love is grand.
Dealing with the past, there are landmines.
Unknown places that are potentially detrimental to a new or existing relationship. Watch your step. These potholes contain remnants from days long gone, remembrances of past loves lost, visions of past intimacies, physical pains, embarrassing incidents, harbored feelings, old secret fantasies, archived phone numbers, pictures, letters, notes, gifts, mementos, crushed roses, jewelry, hats, shoes, airline ticket receipts, souvenirs, all excess baggage carried around in our memories, waiting to surface and explode, causing damage. First, brothers, remember this. If you can't handle the answer, don't ask the question. You start digging in old dirt and you might resurrect the dead and buried. And very often, in this instance, the truth hurts. Bad. There are men in a woman's past who actually knew how to treat a lady a lot better than your definition. Past suitors may have spoiled them regularly, and you never know. They may be carrying a torch that you have almost quenched. If only you'd stop bringing up his name. If you don't constantly bring it up, comparisons won't be made, out of sight, out of mind. And definitely, don't constantly bring up an old flame of yours or one of your past relationships as a comparison. Comparison begets comparison. You know, your cheapness to his generosity, your jealousy to his understanding and confidence, or your 6 to his 9, anyway, suddenly all becomes tit for tat and or one up. Next thing you know, you're feeling like she's been faking every emotion, lying about being satisfied, laughing behind your back, carrying a torch for someone else.
Good morning. Welcome to the April edition of Black Book Talk. I am your co-host, Emma Jackson Ford, bookwoman, here with
Patricia Welch. I guess I can still use the moniker Library Lady, but since I'm recently retired, I invite people to send in some recommendations and some ideas of a new name for me. It's good to be here.
Obie is not with us today, but he'll be back next month. But we do have a very special guest. Mario DePriest is here to talk about his new book, The Power of a Rose. You just heard him reading from the beginning of one of his chapters. Welcome, Mario.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, you are going to share a little bit of your smoothness with the men out there.
Oh, my goodness.
We were brought in by his music, then his wonderful voice, and now he's going to share secrets. So, I see that this book is written man to man. How do significant others benefit from reading it?
Well, one of the main things, and one of the main reasons why I wrote the book, give you a little background on it. I was out on a, it wasn't really a date. It was just me and a female friend. We were out at a movie, and we were really, really enjoying this movie. It was really exciting, and we grabbed arms and locked in. It was like a roller coaster ride. And then at the end of it, I took her home, you know, and dropped her off, and then she came out of the back with night clothes. I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, good night. I'm leaving. And so she was a little upset. And because I was leaving, and I'm like, well, wait a minute. And then an argument ensued because she was on one level, I was on another. She accused me of some game playing and some other things. I'm like, and so anyway, long story short, we discussed it, resolved it, and I left. But then on the way home, I'm thinking, I'm like, I wonder how many people actually go through this type of misunderstanding where one individual's on one level, the other's on another. So I just jotted down my thoughts. And then I said, well, if I'm going to write about that, I might as well bring this up because this is bugging me too. And all of a sudden it evolved into 40-something chapters.
41 and a conclusion.
of my little takes and my input. So it's actually a compilation, not just my experiences personally, but things I've observed and talked to others about. And I've kind of given my little takes on them as well, all with the intention of creating, and to answer your question, communication between individuals. So my normal recommendation as I go out, because it's very, let me put it this way, I've had females as well as males go through, read the manuscripts and things. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, but I get very different responses, positive responses, but very, very different.
Yeah.
And so what one thing that makes me smile, the men tell me that I did not give up my man card.
Okay. So, okay.
So that's a big thing. So that's a good thing. So yeah.
Well, I'm looking at some of the titles. You cover everything from courtship, dealing with the ego, jealousy his, in the next chapter, jealousy hers, innocent bystanders, the religion factor. So I mean, you cover a lot. Why don't you just tell us a little bit, maybe pick a few chapters, however you want to do it, but just give us a few tidbits.
Okay. Well, when I get into things like first impressions and the blind date part of it, the main thing that I deal with is talking to the men about being honest. Because once you put on pretense, you have to perpetuate that that falseness moving forward. In other words, how do you change from this great individual you tried to project, which was not really you, and now all of a sudden that's the expectation. And you turn around and all of a sudden you're disappointing now because the real you is not, this is a hypothetical example, not opening doors now, not giving flowers now, not doing these other courteous and gratuitous things that you presented at the onset. So now, here's a person who, you know, has dirty socks and, you know, or whatever that new case is. And now the person will, the trust factor will now be lowered more or less permanently, because what you projected at first is now seen in a light that is not pure or clean.
So yeah. You mean you're recommending that they come out in the just smelly socks and the messy hair?
No, not that. But I'm just saying, just be yourself.
But when what you if come yourself out. Is a DAWG?
A DAWG? Well, I actually have a chapter on that. If you look through. There's one called Player No More in there. Where I go through, and that's the one that the ladies kind of go to first when they see that chapter. And the guys, too. Say, I mean, they go
bingo.
To, what is he meaning with
so
that?
So you mean if you're not a door opener, don't even start opening the door for her when she gets in the car or when you're going in the building?
No, that's another reason for the book. So here's the deal. If you're being honest, and as you're reading chapter to chapter to chapter, the culmination of reading the entire book has taken you on this journey, okay, that's going to remind you of the things that are very important, those things that maybe you really know, but you're just not doing because you don't think they're that important now. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things when I talk about the view from some men of women being more, I use the term, you know, perceived as more feminist and not really, because they're taking on these great things, they're running companies now, they, you know, they've been doing it before, but now it's more in the limelight that we see that they're taking control of businesses and ventures, even family planning and all these other things. So they're doing all this stuff now. Well, does that make the man any less a man? Absolutely not. No, of course not. And so now this is what the book is a reminder, just because she make even twice as much money as you.
So if she makes twice as much money as you, mm-hmm. and your natural mind would tell you, we'll go Dutch every time?
No. Mm-mm. But some of the men react with letting that affect their persona. You know, they feel like they're not accomplishing enough and things like that. But that's nonsense. You know, for example, a lot of times educational things are done as a duo. You, for example, I might contribute to my mate's education, but then do I hold them at fault when they actually achieve that education, go out and start to prosper? You know, so that's the thing. These are the reminders that are in the book. That's like, you know, just cool it, you know, back off, and let those things happen. Now it's your turn. Okay, now you take the reins and you do your part in whatever your part is. Things like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Overall, what do you hope to accomplish with the book?
The main thing that I hope to accomplish with this book, number one, is, well, there's a couple of things. The first is communication between two individuals in relationships, okay? Because, no, the book's not going to make them perfect. No, they're not. But reading through, for example, I had one individual who's pretty prominent, I won't name names, okay, who actually read the manuscript. And she was politically high up in the state government. And when she got done, I was at a ball game. And she said, Mario, would you come here for a minute? I want to talk to you. So I came, I sat down. She said, have a seat. I read your manuscript. I said, I'm thinking I'm in trouble, you know. I said, so what do you think? She said, let me tell you something. And then she started to talk to me about her previous marriage. And I won't get into detail, but it was pretty tumultuous. And at the end of it, she said, I want to thank you, because she said, that book gave me closure. She said, I'll never forget what he did, but now I can forgive him because I saw him. She said, I would like to see this book in the school curriculum as mandatory reading for high school males. Yeah, so I was like, I mean, what kind of compliment is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that really, I was like, okay, let me get this out. If not ever in the school curriculum, let me at least get it out there and let's find out. Who knows where it'll end up? But it's all well intended, and there's no special, you know, thing I'm trying to do outside of what the book is projecting. There's no ulterior thing. I'm not trying to get rich, I'm trying to be informative. And I'm trying to, as I said, start the communication between individuals. And what I kind of recommend is like, well, don't pick chapter 21 and just hand it and say, here, read this chapter, because that's too accusatory. That's kind of defeating the purpose. As individuals read through the content, they'll see the continuity between the chapters. And then it starts to tie in and make sense if you follow. But go ahead.
Okay, so the book has only been out about a month, if that much?
Not even that long, because the publisher just got it out a little while ago, but it has been on Amazon.com, to Emma's point, for okay. about 2 months in Kindle format.
Ah, okay.
So it's been there on Amazon.com in Kindle format. If you go to Amazon.com and just type in Mario DePriest in the search, it comes right up. And okay. then you can actually read the first two chapters free. I mean, they're just there.
Well, because I'm thinking, okay, so the person you just mentioned read the manuscript, mm-hmm. but what other kind of feedback have you gotten? And I mean, since this is a man-to-man book,
right.
What are the brothers saying
All right,
you?
So another brother who you both know, who I also won't mention, actually read the book, mm-hmm. being a divorcee, back into the dating world, was going chapter by chapter and actually applying some of the content into his adventure. So anyway, long story short, he invited me to dinner. He said, you got to come. Let's have dinner because I want to discuss this with you. Bop, 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 bop. So we actually sat down and we went through, we laughed, and he was talking about, you know, this works and this, blah, blah. He's telling me about how applying these things to his day-to-day circumstances. And this is somebody who's experienced. I'm not talking about some rookie. This is somebody who's politically astute, who's run big businesses, da-da-da-da-da. But he was back into this element, just a little bit shaky because of the lack of experience, because he was in a former long-term committed relationship. So just testing these waters again was a little bit out of his jurisdiction. So it was a kind of a welcome thing. And I talked him into writing a book too. I said, well, you need to write one.
Oh.
And not necessarily about the relationship thing, but just, you know, he's accomplished a lot.
Can you just touch a little bit on the chapter about jealousy?
Ah, okay. Well, there are actually two chapters on jealousy. One is jealousy his, and then one is jealousy hers. And jealousy, okay. You know, I got to read a little bit. let me get to him. Jealousy his is all about a lot of other things like trust, mm-hmm. communication, actually having the self-confidence in your relationship. Because if you're actually contributory, there's no reason for jealousy. Either it is a relationship, a committed firm relationship, or it's not. Sometimes it's the middle ground is kind of muddled because of outside influences, people saying things, hearsay, some other things that are coming in. So, you know, unless you're really strong in it, you can be swayed, you can have doubts, you can have fears, and there come the jealousies out of that. So it's kind of in a security, a trust, and a communication thing. The bottom line of this thing is really the communication piece, because if you talk through things, you get clarity. Once you get clarity, you have understanding, and then that thwarts off all these outside daggers that are coming in. And some of them are intentional daggers. Some of them are just things people have heard or things people feel, or, you know, you might look a certain way and all of a sudden you see a nice dress, you're thinking about, oh, if I can get that for my mate, that would be great. But the other outsider will look and say, look at him looking at her like that. So it's something even just that subtle, you know what I mean? So I'm just kind of trying to reaffirm with the guys. Okay, just a quick paragraph. A jealous mind, this is jealousy his, this is his. A jealous mind is a hot boiling cauldron where irrational and compulsive behaviors and feelings stir up mental distortions and insecurities. The fear of losing one's affection or attention can sometimes seem unbearable. Desperate means are resorted to in order to quench the burning fire within. No crime seems unjustified. No action seems unwarranted. No friend seems close enough. No sacrifice seems too great. And in some cases, even the thought of death doesn't deter us from our actions. And, you know, I know that seems a little bit... And that's just one of the first paragraphs. But as I get into the definition, I really talk about some of the contributing factors to it. The main thing that I drive home is this, and I think possibly both of you will agree. No man actually knows any woman thoroughly. None of y'all. We don't. Okay? Some think they do, but they really, really don't. And so,
in agree? Solidarity with our sisters, we just say, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I try to get them to, is to back off of this grandiose, you know, egotistical approach that says, well, you know, I got this. Well, not necessarily. You really, really don't. And that's one of the hardest pills to swallow as the men kind of take this in. Now, that's not a challenge. That's not saying that the communication piece won't get you closer. Because that's why it's so important. As you are communicating and learning more, you got to get to know someone. Most folks don't know because their first impressions were usually physical. They were usually a song being played or something else was going on that enhanced and made enticing this moment. That love at first sight thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, yeah, there you're jumping in, head first, feet first, or however first, and you're in it now. And that's why the start the chapter, if you do that, no pretense. Be honest, be straightforward, be you. Just be you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, now this begs the question then. Okay. Mm-hmm. You are writing and speaking with authority. Mm-hmm. I believe you. I am convinced. Mm-hmm. But now, what are your credentials? I'm not asking if you're a Mac Daddy or anything like that. I'm just saying.
Yes, you are.
I'm not. Listeners, you know. This is Black Books.
We go way back, by the way, folks.
I'm just saying, you know.
Okay.
Just tell us a little bit. What are your credentials for this job?
Well, again, this is a person who, well, as I say in the book, and don't take this wrong. What I say in the book, I have connections with women. Okay, and when I talk about that, I talk about when I was a little kid, when my mother used to give parties when I was 3 and 4 years old, the ladies would pick me up, hold me to them, and slow dance with me. Okay, so this is how I got started. Now, I'm not saying that makes me an authority and I know it all. Matter of fact, I give a disclaimer at the first part of the book that it says this is not intended to take the place of sound, you know, professional advice from practicing professionals. Okay, you go to them. But as I'm listening and as I went through some of the scenarios and some of the things depicted in the book and I talked about them, well, I've got a real take on them that is not only analytical, but I have conclusions and I have thought processes that if they're implemented, do they affect everybody who reads the book? Not necessarily. But I think that they're going to reach the hearts and minds of individuals who have been so stubborn and bullheaded in some cases that they are this winner at any cost mentality and some of the other things that we men have a propensity to do. And I'm not, you know, brothers, you know. Okay. So we need to sometimes shut up and just listen. Sometimes if we can do that much, it makes a ton of difference. A ton of difference. Yeah. I wish you guys could see how these women are looking at me. They are serious.
Rapt okay. Attention.
I still want to hear a little bit more about those credentials.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I was slow dancing at 3 or 4 years old.
Oh,
yeah, I think we better clarify this.
Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. All right, so...
And also, do you have any sisters? I'm just saying, add that in. Do you have any sisters? Because I think that also affects man's outlook on things. But go on.
I actually do. I had two sisters. One passed away, and I have one left. She's in Hawaii right now, and she's living in Hawaii. And she's done instruction. She graduated from the Art Academy of New York and all these other things, my sister Nikki. And she's very much on top of it as well. She's a lot younger, however. So there is a chapter in the book that deals with your female relatives. And I call it your inside connection. And that's, I don't know if you saw that chapter or not, but that's in there. I try to capture so much. Okay, so I got to get back to Emma because she's asking me about my credentials. So I got to get back on that. And one of the things, I have dated various women.
Widely.
Very much so.
Yeah, we have been at functions where I've only seen the same girl twice, maybe.
See, here we
but
go.
But 20 years I have observed him. I want him to talk about these credentials.
Okay, so what Emma's talking about. And see, they're getting me because they've been knowing me so long. And those who are close to me know that I have, quote unquote, a lot of sisters. Okay, so these are people who are perceived a lot of times when I'm out and about to be romantic interests. They're not, but that's okay. I am not backing off, okay? And because the ladies in my life who are close, they are, they'll tell you. I got to get them on here so they can kind of give an amen or two.
I've heard a little bit of those conversations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Of the women you've been out with.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. And, you know, the ones that are actually romantically involved, you know, that I've been romantically involved with, and just wonderful, wonderful ladies. I mean, I do say that. And as you know, I don't burn bridges. I have been married, and my ex-wife
he is doesn't one of burn my bridges. He is very smooth. But I have overheard women say to him, look mm-hmm. this way. Or your eyes.
Well, I'm always observant.
At the Ebony Fashion Fair, to just remember one place.
The Ebony Fashion Fair. Oh, yeah.
When it used to come to Portland.
That's a fashion show. Mm-hmm. Now, what man is going to go to a fashion show and look at the lady next to him through the whole fashion show?
No, just look at the models in a certain way.
In a certain
this
way.
This is beginning to sound like Portland expose. Yeah,
I know it is.
Yeah,
we're getting. I'm getting more than I bargained for. Go on, Emma, and listeners, you know how sweet Emma is.
You know she
go
is.
Go on, Emma.
But I've been knowing Emma over 20 some years, so it's all good. She can
it
come.
Is.
She can come.
I'm just saying, I overheard some little tidbits of conversation over the years where your date would be kind of correcting you.
No, no, no.
I think that's where those credentials, this is tried and true, that's where the credentials come from.
That's what she was getting at. So, I was trying to figure out, now why is she asking me?
So to all the men out there, yes, he knows whereof he speaks. I think that's what we're trying
to do. That's where
I'm
going.
Yeah.
Let's try to bring this back to a more professional level. And where can our eager listeners.
She actually does love me, folks.
I do. I think that he would be considered professional in writing this book. He knows
all
what
you
he's
meant.
Talking about.
There you go.
Yeah, you have to really realize, I mean, to even take on a challenge of writing a book like this, you are opening up yourself to not, I mean, you know, this is the light side what Emma's doing. I mean, there's so much other stuff.
But you have done the thing is you have done your research.
My goodness.
And that's what we want the listeners to know. And absolutely. Where can they get this book?
Okay, so the website's being built as we speak.
Okay.
And then right now, as I said, in Kindle form, Amazon.com, search Mario DePriest. The book is The Power of a Rose, Man to Man on Women, Romance, and Communication.
Okay, I guess what we're going up with the mellifluous sounds.
Of Mario DePriest.
Thanks for having me so much. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, thank you all for tuning in. Mario, thanks for being our guest. We'll see you all next month for the May edition of Black Book Talk.
Good reading to you.
Mm-hmm.
wake up one morning and without any warning you find yourself shouting that love is grand and if
there's... Join From the Grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and commentary on April 7th, 2017, from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. We will continue our musical education by focusing on Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke, his voice was like an angel. Sam Cooke, he lived like an intelligent, proud black man. Sam Cooke, he died like a human being. From the Grassroots, April 7th, from 8 p.m. until 10, on 90.7 FM, KBOO in Portland.
I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a
Hey, this is LeVar Howard over here at O.